Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Please stand for the reading of the scriptures. The text is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25 from the Common English Bible. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will place my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds, and I won't remember their sins and their lawless behavior anymore. When there is forgiveness for these things, there is no longer an offering for sin. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence that we can enter the Holy of Holies by means of Jesus' blood through a new and living way that He opened up for us through the curtain, which is His body, and we have a great high priest over God's house. Therefore, let us draw near with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us, since our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. Let's also think about how to motivate each other to show love and to do good works. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Friends, some information for us to process before we move into the sermon. First, a word of counsel to you. The only invite that is not ever, that is late, is the one that's never given. These green cards are in the back in various places as you depart. They welcome people to come to us on this coming Sunday as we complete our cycle of celebration for Easter. I would invite you to take one and share them with your neighbor and friend. Number two, I'm going to ask Nate if you'd be so kind to give us a little less air. I think we'd feel a little more comfortable. Thank you for that grace. Number three, there's an element that we will engage in just a moment called the stripping of the altar. The stripping of the altar comes from the Coptic, Catholic, as well as the Anglican churches. It is a marking of the transition that Christ has gone from being Son of Man to being Son of God when He expires. You will see that taking place in just a moment. I would ask you to do three things. Be in meditation as that moment happens. Be in silence. And celebrate in your own soul the gift that God is. It will be relevant to you and it will reveal itself in that due season. Finally, thank you for your grace of being here tonight. We are grateful for your presence as we come together and mark this important night. Would you pray with me? Oh God, this stands as your august body of faith of believers, and this is your child. So the question and the petition we ask of you is simply this: what would you have us to do? And this is our request. Hear our prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable. Dare I ask, O God, that you make them perfect for the work of ministry in your sight, for you are our strength and redeemer. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Friends, following the postlude, we will depart this place in silence. It is the never-ending quest of modern-day people to gain technology that assists them, you and I, all of us, in gaining a clearer and closer view of reality. These mechanisms, these tools, these gifts from smartphones to TVs help us to see the pimple in people's faces clearer, the ball turning ever so softer and so closer, and as well, the moves of those who we can no longer model in our own dance activity. We want to see them in living color like never before. The market share for this technology has exploded in the last 10 years. Just one example for us to get the relevancy of this moment. The Dallas Cowboys, that team that seems to never make it to the big dance now, for those of you who are Cowboys fans, forgive me. They spent $1 trillion, $1 trillion on their stadium. They spent $1 billion on their technology. The main screen cost $250 million so that the people could see the toe touching the in and out line ever so quickly. Lest you think we are without sin, Texas and the Dallas Cowboys are not alone. All of us have spent money. Yes, all of us. If you haven't, you are one of the rare few, because all of us, just that I know, just about every single person here, including the church here, who has one of these large TVs that has evolved to the point and moved from the 356 lines that we used to brag about when we finally got a color TV to HD to UHD to SUHD to 4K, 8K, and now Ultra 4K. The sizes range from 27 to 45, now 70, and the latest one that is coming for our attention this summer is 120 inches wide. Estimated cost, $3,769.19 at your local Best Buy. We've got these 70-inch wide murals on our walls rather than the pictures that we used to talk about over coffee, and the specs have changed their name from high density to ultra-high superlatin to super ultra-high density. Who's the biggest and the best is always the one that we want to seek, from Samsung to Sharp to the list goes on and on. Oh, lest I forget Sony and the ever-present Panasonic. We buy them in droves. Today, I went to Sam's Club just to see how many TVs just today had been bought in preparation for the beginning of my favorite season, that season known as National Basketball Association playoff time. Today, at the Edwardsville Sam's Club, 317 TVs were bought today. Average cost, $699. You do the math. Somebody's going to be watching TV for a long time. And the goal is to be able to see people, places, and events clearer and bigger and closer than ever before. We have this innate need to see it up front and personal. If Jesus was physically here this night, would applaud us for the passion that we have on this Good Friday evening. Jesus understands and emphasizes with us on this passion to see things closer. Jesus makes our passion to see things closer look like a passing fancy as he walks through the season named Lent. Jesus and his particular ebb of knowing how well to move towards Jesus, the Christ that is becoming the Son of God, who is going to be just in 3 days the Savior of the world, would find our desire memorable on this Good Friday. So those of you who are sports fans, I know we have Cardinals fanatics here. Let me ask you this question as I turn the corner on this text. Have you had a Good Friday weekend with your technology? Have you had one of those weekends where you had all set up with popcorn and pizza, the peanuts, and all, yes, the pop? I'm from Cleveland. You know it is soda. Were you all ready and prepared, and then all of a sudden, as you clicked your favorite TV on, the remote didn't work, and neither did the TV, and it was just hours before the game. Have you had that Good Friday experience with your technology? I did several years ago. Once in Atlanta, we were going to have Thanksgiving, and the Browns were playing the Cowboys. The day before, I had positioned the TV just so. I was ready. And all of a sudden, the kids were playing, the TV fell, and I was in a Good Friday technology experience. We looked at our budget. Emma said we didn't have it. I didn't care. I went to Best Buy and bought the biggest and baddest TV I could find. Well, the one that at least I knew I would go to bed with her at night again and sleep. Had a good next day until the bill came, and then we had to move some things around to make sure we could keep the TV. There was another one. Just a couple of years ago in our former parsonage, the TV went down, our first flat screen. Oh, we thought we had reached high mark when we could see the stitching in the shoes of the players. And now the question became, was the color fuchsia or was it pink? Jesus would say to us this night, those of us who see clearer and closer and drawing even better and nearer to our God, a view that is rarely found and sought, know that the day of the Lord is close at hand, according to Joel 2. Matthew 6, 33, rather Matthew 8, 18 and 17, this is what it says. This happened, this moment of Jesus transitioning and healing and making ways, this happened so that what Isaiah the prophet said would be fulfilled. He is the one who took our illness and carried away our diseases. And when Jesus saw the crowd, he ordered the disciples to get to the other side. This is the culmination of Lent, and Jesus has taken these 40 days of pain and struggle and agony and strife and heartache to get to this moment because he is trying to see God clearer. On this day, this Good Friday, the scripture of Jesus teaches us in John 18 through John 19 that he is both, listen, placed in court, convicted with no evidence to be of any good standing, that Jesus carried the cross and now at this hour, this very hour, is being crucified on that same cross he carried for some 2 miles. This Jesus who we proclaim to be our love and our soul, this Jesus this night is not having a Good Friday. Have you ever been in a place where everyone thought you should have a Good Friday and you haven't been having a Good Friday at all? You got to remember, for Jesus, even though he knows what's coming in a couple of days, he is with pain. He is struggling. And while he is looking at the others saying, just hold on, his humanness is vamping its hope because he is hurting. And he has no way to holler help. Now, here's the real question for real Christians. If you are not that, you don't have to answer. Just look the other way. Why would anyone in their right mind go through this? This is Jesus, I get it. But why would anybody who had the option, remember, he could have called 10,000 angels and they could have wrestled him. He could have told the demon in Luke 4, no, that's all right, I'll just take the bread and take the kingdom to myself. I will not find myself in suffering. But Jesus bore our iniquities and suffered according to Isaiah 53 for this same purpose, because he wanted to see God and us closer. What kind of God is this? What kind of Savior is this that is willing to go through shame and despising so that we might be his children and he might be our Father, and at the end of the day, see not only the best part of us, but the worst part of us, and still say, I love you. But the text teaches us this is who he is. You may ask this question, but Jesus answers this question, why would you do this, in unbelievable response. I did it all. I did everything. I walked these miles. I took these thorns. I pierced my side. I let them hurt me and shame me. I had them put on the top of my head a thorn, a cross of thorns that would hurt anybody, and I had them right on top of me, the King of the Jews. I did it all. Every bit of it, all day, all night. I suffered for 7 hours. And even at this hour, where anybody else would have been comatose from the pain, I walked through it all because I wanted to get close to you and God, as close as I could get. You see, for God, this is not about religiosity. This is about relationship. And when you love people, you go through things that you don't even know yourself you can go through. I don't know if you're hearing me tonight, but Jesus is with us. Jesus, this God, gives us these words in Hebrews 4 that Tom read so eloquently in 10:16 through 25. I won't take much more of your time, but I must tell you that I must read this one verse in 22. Here it is. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts, not our minds, because our minds can trick us, but having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Three things are helpful here this Good Friday night about getting close to God as God gets close to us. First, to do so, you must do so with a sincere heart. You see, at some point, Lent must become your life. Please mark that for yourselves. At some point, the Lenten journey must become your life. If you don't think that you are going to see trouble, let me give you scripture. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just hang in there and some more is coming. Lent must become your life. Over the living of your days, you must be comfortable at some point with agony, because it will become the thing that will catapult you into your position of acceptance that you have been called by God to go beyond your own capacity to live for him in a way that even man later on won't fully understand it. But because you don't serve them, you serve him. It is all good. Number two, the writer of Hebrews, who is unnamed, unknown, and quite frankly does not even want to be recognized. Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that renewing? Somebody who doesn't want to have a reputation. Somebody who doesn't even want to be known. Just somebody who wants you to know him. He writes this in full assurance of faith. Not only must you at some point let Lent be your life, you must let Lent be your love. Jesus at some point must become the center of your joy, as Richard Smallwood records it so ably. At some point, the good days and bad days when you have your hand in God's hand must be more than enough. You got to remember, they have stripped him of all his dignity, stripped him of all of his distinction. They have stripped him. Let me offer this to you. The stripping of who you are allows God to put on the robe of who he's called you to be. You don't need all that stuff. People not looking at you that well anyhow. In fact, in the words of one great young prophet, it's not about you, it's about him. Let it ride and let them look at you the way they will. In fact, in the text, in the book known as Genesis, there is one who models this, whose name is Joseph, who wears a cloak of many colors. And the more color he wears, the more trouble he finds. It is only when he is in the pit and no one cares about him that his full magnification of all he is called to be comes out, and it becomes revelatory for others. Don't worry, you'll get your 15 minutes of purpose. But before you get your 15 minutes of purpose, remember, you're going to get 15 days of pain. You can't go around this mountain. This one you have to go through. There's a final piece in the text, Hebrews 10, 16, 25. This night, I'd invite you to read it later on. Not only must you come with a sincere heart, not only must you come in full assurance of faith, because at some point faith will not fail you if you have it fully, but you must have your heart sprinkled by pure water, which equals for God the trust you hold in him and the worship you provide him. Lest you think I've lost my mind, just give me just this one moment. For there is something sharper as you draw closer to God. There is something even more vibrant when you're close to God than the latest specs on our televisions. There is something that will always be cleaner and sharper and more vivid than any technology man will ever provide us through these wonderful gifts of screens. Church, hear me this night. I believe the text teaches us that the sharpness that we seek, that we must have if we're ever going to have comfortable lives, is found in the claiming and the naming and the reclaiming of a real and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to God, because Jesus is Lord and Jesus is God. How do you know that, Troy? Because on that night, it teaches us in the book of John that the last act he did was this. When he had completed all of his humanness and it was time for him to transition, he finalized how close he was and how final his steps were by bowing his head and saying, "It is finished." Tonight, I invite you to get as close as you can to God and let the corruption of this world dissipate from you enough that you might find the celebratory nature of a God who thought it not robbery for you and I to be equal. And in this way, you and I this night, as much as we grieve for the Savior who loves us, can also take stock in knowing that sin this night